I gotta go. Good evening. Hope you all are doing well tonight. I want to thank David for giving me the opportunity to come to preach tonight. This will be my first sermon of 2020. I'm excited about it. So if you've got your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, the focus verse tonight is going to be verse number 37. We'll get to that in just a second. But to start of 2020, it's a new year. I know at work we got a lot of new things going on. They're trying to get us to plan out what we're going to do for the year, what we can do differently. And I don't know about how many of you all, but I know most people, the beginning of the year, we all know what people like to do. They like to set New Year's resolutions, right? And everybody knows how well New Year's resolutions pretty much go. Usually it's about 2 or 3 weeks. You're really into it, and then you fizzle out and you burn out. There's got to be that true change happens. But one of the things that I feel it's important that we evaluate more than just at the beginning or the end of the year is your relationship with God and where you are in your relationship with God. And the title of my sermons tonight is, Are You Loving God With All? I've been studying this for the past few weeks and been going through it with our youth on Sunday mornings. It's been something that really, if you look at what we go through tonight, it can really change how your 2020 will go. But the question I want to ask you all tonight is, what does it mean to love God with all? I know we talk about that, but what does it mean, just everything that we do? The Bible tells us clearly in Matthew, Jesus is going to tell us how to do it. But first, I want to think back about the moment that you got saved. Think back to that moment. We're talking about loving God with all. When we accept Christ as our Savior, the feeling and the fire that's now inside of you is now evident. If someone truly accepts Christ, you can see there's a change in them. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell inside of them, and they can't do anything else but tell people about Jesus. You talk about Jesus. You make an effort to read your Bible, go to church. You're doing everything that you can do to physically love God with all. You know, but it's sad, but for some, that feeling that we had when you got saved, that moment of salvation, after time, for some people that feeling starts to fade. That's kind of sad. You may not bring Jesus up in your conversations as much as you did once. And your personal Bible study may go from an everyday thing to maybe an every other day reading. And sometimes you might not even pick your Bible up till you come into church and then not touch it at all till we come back in the next time. And I know that may sound tough, but for reality, that happens for a lot of people, and it shouldn't. One of the things that whenever it seems to fade, that feeling that you have, I've categorized that as something in my life that I'm learning, and as the more time I'm in church, I see this. Whenever that feeling starts to fade, I consider that as you're starting to get comfortable. You're starting to get comfortable in your faith. You're starting to get comfortable at where you're serving. And this is just where you're just content with getting by. You get comfortable, you understand what I'm saying. You do the bare minimum. When you come to church on Sundays, you come, you find your seat in class, you find your seat in auditorium. We sing, we stand, we preach, we get up, and then we leave. And we don't do anything extra. That's a state of being comfortable if you're a Christian. That can be a devastator, not only for your Christian life, but it can be for the church as well. But it doesn't just stop with just doing the bare minimum to get by. I talked about a second ago, your daily Bible study. It might go from, okay, I need to read my Bible tonight. The end of the day comes up. We're either too tired, and what do we say? We'll do it tomorrow, and we'll catch up. And you say that over and over and over again. And that's just the state of contentment. That's just being comfortable. And being comfortable with your walk with Christ, I'm starting to realize, is something that I don't want to be. We were created as beings to do more, to be more, and to live a life fully committed to Jesus. And if we really live like this, you're not going to be comfortable at all. I know for me, standing up here on a Sunday night, it's not comfortable for me to stand up here and to preach, but that's what God has called me to do. So whenever you accept Christ and you step outside of your comfort zone, God is going to do more things for you through your life if you fully surrender to Him than you could ever imagine. And that's where you want to be. So my New Year's, we talked about New Year's resolution. This is my New Year's resolution. I kind of hope that it'll be yours too. And that's to focus on the one thing that drives everything, and that is Jesus. So tonight, let's take a look and see how we can really apply loving God to all with our entire life. So look with me, Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37. It says, exactly how are we to love God? That's not it. But it said, he said to him, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You know, Jesus tells us here exactly how we are to love God with all. It's with your heart, and with your soul, and with your mind. Other parts of the Bible, it also talks about with all your strength as well. But the three that I want us to look at tonight is your heart, and your soul, and your mind. So in your heart, I believe that in order to love God with all, you got to do two different things with your heart. First off, you got to love God with all of your heart, and you got to make sure that your heart is right with God first. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, it'll tell you how to make sure your heart is right with God. It says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. I asked our youth this a couple of weeks ago, but have you ever asked God to examine your heart? Outside of salvation, I mean. But have you ever asked God this? Have you ever asked him to search you? And if you did, what was the result? I know a few weeks ago when I was preparing for this, I really asked that. And you know, it's sad to say, but a lot of times what's inside of me is not what I want to be inside of me. If God truly is to search my heart, like I know that he does every day, I want him to be happy with what's inside of me. I want him to see the love, the forgiveness, and things that we do of this life. And I don't want him to see that hate. But, and if you've not ever asked God to examine your heart, what would he find if he did? We talked about in Sunday school this morning, we kind of joked about it with the kids, but if we had on a Sunday morning where we knew Jesus was physically going to be in church with us, how do you think we would act? We would all dress up, we would make sure we were doing our best, we would make sure everything is perfect for Jesus to come, but that's how it's supposed to be on a regular basis. We're supposed to give our best. We're supposed to do what we can because Jesus is with us in our heart wherever we go. And we talked about salvation. Salvation, it's not just a one-time experience or a feeling. Once you come to salvation, that's going to be a complete life change. It's something that's going to, he's going to take up permanent residence inside of your heart. And he goes with you everywhere. That Holy Spirit, when you ask him for salvation, he comes to you. He goes with you everywhere. He looks at everything that you look at. That's hard sometimes. He looks at everything that you look at. He knows every word that comes out of your mouth, good or bad. And he feels your pain. God knows what's going on in your life. We don't necessarily, he wants us to tell him, but before you even tell him through prayer, he knows what's going on inside of you. And that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we bring our concerns to him. He knows your heart, and we shouldn't want to be ashamed of the answer that we're going to give. So to love God with all of your heart, you got to make sure that your heart is right with him. And the second one, you got to make sure that your heart is right with other people. My dad got up and preached this morning. I started to smile because our sermons sort of overlapped. And I was thinking, me and Dad's either got to forgive someone or somebody's going to have to forgive us for both looking at this. But turn with me over to Matthew chapter 18. It's just two verses, 21 and 22, that I want to look at for just a second. And I'll start in verse number 21. It says, then Peter approached him and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as seven times? I tell you, not even as many as seven, Jesus replied, but 77 times. You know, I think about Peter in the Bible, and he's one that he asks a lot of questions. I feel like I would probably have to be like that, continually asking questions. If you ask my wife, I do ask questions on her a lot more than I probably should. But I think his question in verse number 21 is fair. We learned about it this morning, but how did they do forgiveness in the Old Testament? They forgave someone three times, and then after that, it was an eye for an eye. This whole process of forgiving other people, it was new to these men. And how easy is it for you to forgive someone who's truly wronged you. It's hard. It can be downright impossible. You know what? As hard as it is to do, how does Jesus say we're supposed to forgive? He says that we're supposed to forgive always, basically. Peter thought he was being very generous, saying here to forgive someone up to seven times. But like we said this morning, I can assure you, Jesus doesn't mean to only forgive someone up to 490 times. He means to continually forgive. And husbands, I want to ask you all a question. If that was the case, that we would only be forgiven, what was that, 490 times, how long would our marriage have lasted? A month? 2 months? 3 months? Probably wouldn't have lasted that long. Because you can assure, the wives keep check of things. 490 comes up pretty quick. But when we think about forgiveness, I want to ask you to think about it this way. Jesus, he didn't have to forgive you of your sins, but he did. He didn't have to come down from heaven and die for you, but he decided to do that. You know, the Bible tells us that the penalty for our sins is death. And that really means that when our physical bodies die, we deserve hell. Even if we think that we live the best life that we can live, we are still going to sin. But Jesus offered us that ultimate forgiveness, and that was that grace that he extended towards us. And because Jesus forgave us and extended grace, we can be totally forgiven. So if we really love God with all of our heart, that means that we have to learn to extend that grace that he gave to us to other people. We have to learn that we have to forgive them, our brothers and sisters. We have to make sure that we are doing that with each other, even when we don't. Even to those people that completely get up under your nails, they just drive you crazy. We still have to forgive them and we have to love them because that's what God tells us to do. So the first two ways to love God with all with your heart is you gotta make sure your heart's right with God. You gotta make sure that your relationship is right with him as well. The second part in that verse, in that focus verse that we talked about, is you gotta love God with all of your soul. So all of you all know pretty much I've grown up in church my entire life. It's something that I've been very fortunate that I've been here. Anytime the doors are open, I've been here. But something in the past couple of years, especially when I came into ministry, that really hit me hard, talking about a soul, is when everyone is born on this earth, everyone is born with a soul. And everyone has that decision that you have to make because we're all going to live forever somewhere. We're either going to live in heaven with Jesus if we ask him to forgive us of those sins, or we're going to live in hell, unfortunately. And that alone, for me, has got me to question, am I really doing a good job with sharing Jesus with other people? And if I really examine myself, I'm not. You know, I would hope that my life would line up with how Jesus would want me to live, but a lot of times that sin comes through me and it overtakes me. But you know what? Jesus, he wants to forgive you of that, and it's a complete lifestyle change when you come to him. It's something that you got to continuously work on and make sure that you're right with him. So let's look, talking about your soul, Luke 12, and we're going to go from verses 22 through 26, but I want to look at 22 and 23 to start with. So Luke 12, 22 and 23. And it says, then he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life and what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. I want to look at that question in verse number 22, or what Jesus tells us here. Jesus says not to worry about your life. And let me ask you this, how hard is that? It's very hard. For me, it seems like it's impossible. I told the youth this a couple of weeks ago, too, and I'm going to give you all a life lesson tonight. Life is hard. It is very stressful. And if you're blessed to have a spouse and children, it even escalates even more. You're stressed out a lot. But one of the things that we have to realize is once we come to Christ, you're not your own anymore. He is there with you, and I'm most thankful that Jesus always seems to provide for me, even when I think that he's not going to. He always seems to find a way. And if you're a worrier like I am, I worry a lot and I try to plan a lot. 24 through 26 is some good verses here. It says, consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap, and they don't have a storeroom or a barn, yet God feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than the birds? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? If then you're not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest? I've had moments in my life, guys, in different situations that I didn't know how God was going to provide. Things happen. Your heat pump goes out at once. Your child gets put in the hospital, and I think the power went out. That happened in 1 week, and I was like, God, why is this happening to me? But he always seems to provide a way, whether that have been money or what it may have been. He always seems to provide for me. And you know, I think when I think about putting our trust fully in Jesus, that's what trusting him and loving God with all your soul is. You put that complete trust in him to take care of you, even in those moments where you don't think that he is. And I think of it like this, and if any of you all in here fish, you'll relate to it, but we kind of have that rod and reel kind of mentality. Or trusting God sometimes when situations in our life, we just don't know how it's going to go. And what I mean by that is if you've ever been fishing, you take your fishing rod and you cast it out into the water. You wait just a couple of minutes and then you reel it back in, but the whole time you're holding on to that rod. You think that you're in control. Most times, though, you're reeling that back in. You don't know what you're going to get caught on the bottom. You don't know if you're going to have to break the line and put something else completely on it. You don't know how you're going to react to that. And I think that the same thing applies to our life. When Jesus asks us to cast our worries onto him, he doesn't want us to continue to hold on to that rod of worries like we do. When you fully put your trust in him, you cast them onto him, and you take those that way that he provides for you. And you know, the answer that we're going to get sometimes from him in those situations, it's not always going to be the ones that we're going to want. But I know it's probably going to be the ones that is best for us. Sometimes you feel like in life like your hook gets caught on the bottom of the bank, but God's got a plan for it to get that out. And he knows just what you're going through, and the best part about it is he has got our life completely planned out for us. And that's something that I have to continually remember. He also adds in verse number 25, it says, can any of you add one moment to your lifespan by worrying? It says, this is important, and I promise God he will always take care of you. And look what verse number 31 says. He says, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. You know, to love God with all of your soul, we have completely put our trust in him, like I said. You know that if you are seeking his kingdom and keeping the things on what his kingdom is, he is going to provide for you even in those moments that you don't think that he will. So that's what I truly think to encompass to love God with all of your soul is you put that complete trust in him. You completely give him your soul to do with what he asks, be an obedient servant, do the calling that he's put on your life, but ultimately put that full trust in him and love him with all of your soul. The last way that you can love God with all that I've got tonight is love God with all of your mind. And the verses that I've got here is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and a perfect will of God. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that can take our eyes and our mind off of Jesus. And you know, it can happen really fast. I've got on here because if you're honest with yourself, something in this world during the week takes your worship and your focus off of God. And you could be in one of these three categories that I've got down here. It says, do you look for the satisfaction from things that provide you short-term pleasure? Do you look for satisfaction for things that provide you short-term pleasure, whether that be money or relationships outside of God or something like that? What do you look for short-term pleasure? Or this one right here, the next two is really for me. I was going to say this one is, but the next two is what I catch myself. Or do you catch yourself wanting what other people have? You see those houses that come across on Facebook on Realtor, and you're thinking, man, that house looks nice. So one of your friends gets a new truck. I've got a little car, and I want a new truck. But I got to know that that new truck's in the plan sometime, but it might not be right now. That's the desire of our eyes. That's something that the world, it will grip us. And Satan, he knows how to throw those things out in front of you to get your eyes off of Jesus and to get it focused on things that we're not supposed to get it focused on. And the last thing that I think the world can take our mind and eyes off of God is the pride of life. This is where you want to always be praised or recognized for things that you do. And that is with anything in life. You want to be praised for something that you do at your job. I mean, you want to be praised for something that you do here at church. I've seen people that come in here, they know that they can flat out sing, and they sing for themselves instead of for God. And that's not how we're supposed to be. And you can take that to any other way that we work in this church. And if you're truly doing it for yourself and you're not doing it for God, all of that doesn't matter, because God is the one that's worthy of our praise. And that's the things that I think that can get our mind off of Jesus. But in order for us to love God with all of our mind, we have to put our thoughts and wants in Him and not the things of this world. And this is how we can kind of guard and train our mind. Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things." You see, we have the power to take our minds captive, and we have the power to control what we think about, but we can intentionally stop listening. We need to intentionally stop listening to the lies of what the enemy will tell us, to what the devil will tell us. And we need to start listening to what God says about who He is and who we are. You know, the enemy, he tries to tell us that we're not good enough. But Jesus does say that He will make us good enough. You know, when the enemy tries to tell you that you can't do what God has called you to do, God has got you called for a certain thing to do in your life. He will help you through it. And Jesus is enough, and He wants you to know that. He wants you to trust, He wants you to feel His love, and He wants you to follow His path for your life. And that's what God wants for us. So tonight, I want you to really step back, and I want you to ask yourself, are we loving God with all? In all three of those aspects, with your mind, with your soul, and with your heart. And if you're not, what's holding you back from fully trusting in God? It could be that you've not asked God for that salvation yet, and you can't love Him with all. Tonight could be that night that you could ask Him for that forgiveness. It could be that you've just grown comfortable in your faith, like we talked about earlier. Comfortable is something that's not, it seems good here in the flesh, but in spirit world, it is not good at all. It's something that can really hinder your walk with Christ. And with Jesus, we're created to do more. We're created to be more, and He wants us to do more. You know, God wants and He deserves our best. Would you agree with me? He wants us to love Him with all. Not just what's left at the end of the day, what we sadly give Him, but He wants us to love Him throughout our entire life. So tonight, if you're not loving God with all, I just ask you, please just look at the beginning of the year here, see what you can do to align your path with what God has for your life. Fully put your trust in Him and try to do this. I've encouraged the youth to do that this past couple of weeks, and I really think if we really put our focus on the one thing, guys, that drives everything this year, and that's in Jesus, He can change your life, and He can completely change the way that we do things here at this church as well. So if you'll pray with me, we'll have our invitation. Heavenly Father God, we thank for this day, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to be able to come into church tonight, God. Lord, I just ask you that as we go out throughout this week, God, I just ask that you search our heart, God. You know if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, Lord. And God, show us if we're not loving you with all aspects of our life. Change us, God. Help us to get on that path that you have called for us and that you want us to be. It's your name that we pray. Amen.